Gene Melter. Gene.
Thank you, Kirk. So when I was in high school, this is way back in the 1970s, I dreamed of becoming a musical comedy star like Liza Minnelli or Julie Andrews or Judy Garland. And my high school offered lots of opportunities for performing. So this is a Catholic girls' school in Los Angeles called Louisville, 500 girls, so that's a small pond. And I filled my schedule with dance and acting and speech and music, and I took the minimal number of academic subjects necessary to graduate. And my goal being fame and fortune. Now, my parents did not support my goal, my dreams, like you hear about those parents who do, nothing like that. And they wanted me to learn to type. But so I took it upon myself to plan my future, and I decided I would go away to college. I would major in performing arts, and I would launch my career. And in high school, I got many roles in many shows, and I felt that I had a lot of promise, and I got a lot of encouragement from the nuns who directed these programs. So I end up at UC Irvine in Orange County, which has a big performing arts department. And you didn't have to audition to get in. You just checked a box on your application. But I didn't know that you had to fill out a separate application to get a space in the dorms. So I arrived for orientation and learned that I had no place to live. So very stressful. But I got a job right away as a nanny for this weird couple who had three small children. And they lived miles from campus, and I didn't have a car. So it got my career off to a very bad start, because now I lived miles from school and wasn't able to, because of my many duties, spend much time at school. So I didn't really get the lay of the land in the performing arts department. But I kept my chin up. And I had one performing class. It was a drama class, drama 1A, and I felt I was a stellar student compared to the others. I had much more confidence and many more accents and things. And the teacher, who was like a starving grad student, gave me quite a bit of praise. So I was encouraged. But what I really looked forward to were the auditions for the spring musical, No No Nanette, and this would be directed by the head of the whole performing arts department, who was a handsome, gray-haired professor who I'll call Cocaine, and he deserves this name because he would host parties in his home for students featuring lines of cocaine and hot tubs. And I was never invited to these parties, but I heard about them. And Cocaine was not married, but he had a steady girlfriend, and it was a student, a senior, who I'll just call her girlfriend. And girlfriend would have been 30 years younger than this guy. And girlfriend and Cocaine did not even bother to hide their relationship, because there were no boundaries in those days. So anyway, I was so looking forward to these auditions. And which would consist of a 3-minute solo, a song of your choice from a musical comedy, and then a tap dance audition led by the choreographer of the show. So I practiced my song, which was I Got the Sun in the Morning and the Moon at Night, and then I planned my outfit, which was a lavender dress, and then I had pink ballet tights and black character shoes. I didn't own tap shoes. So you signed up, and then there were many nights of auditions because there's so many people auditioning, hundreds. So on my night, I show up, and there's a big crowd in the hall outside this big rehearsal sort of studio, and we're put in groups of about 20 and given numbers, and I was way more excited than nervous, because here's a chance to show off to theater professionals, including Cocaine, and then to eventually perform in a big, fancy, professional theater. Sort of like, you know, the pack at Cal Poly. So I just couldn't wait. So my group was called in, And we were told to take seats in folding chairs behind this long table at which sat all the directors of the show and their assistants. And I sat, and I was sort of in the middle of the group, and so I had the chance to watch several people audition, mostly girls. And what I noticed about them was that they were boring. They were actually boring the directors. The directors looked bored from behind. They were just distracted. And they were stiff and amateurish. So I knew exactly what I needed to do. So when my number was called, I just leaped out of my chair and bounded over to the piano and handed the pianist my sheet music, and then I just burst into song, and I just poured feeling and nervous energy into it, sort of like an older Judy Garland, and I cut loose. I just poured everything out, and the directors loved it. They all sat up and took notice, and Cocaine actually got up from his seat and went over to the piano and sort of leaned on it, smiling at me. So now I was singing right to Cocaine and pouring out my love, and he was grinning at me, and the look on his face was saying, yes, this is what I'm talking about. This is an entertainer. And I was just nailing it. It was just thrilling. But the 3 minutes were up, and my song ended. The directors all applauded enthusiastically, and then I went back to my seat. But boy, did I feel good. And the next several girls really didn't rise to the occasion. They were sort of nervous. Some of them had better voices than me, I could tell, but they just weren't. They weren't loose enough, I would say, to show their stuff, and they weren't giving a performance. So I felt great going home. Okay, back up, sorry. That wasn't the end of the audition. I felt great until all that part was over and it was time for the tap dancing. And I had learned a few steps for a few shows, but I'd never really had proper dance lessons. And the choreographer told us to get in line. So there's 20 of us, and there's four lines of five. So I could see how this was going to go. So I got in the last line, and she quickly taught us a number. It was like a minute long, but it seemed very, very complex to me. And we were supposed to just learn this thing, just learn this number, and just do it. And I was immediately just in a muddle. But I could see the girls in front of me, a lot of them just were like, okay, I got this, bring it on. And so the choreographer sits down, and she motions to the pianist, and he starts playing, and the first line dances. And I realize I have 3 minutes to learn this thing. I have three lines I can watch, and then I've got to just do it. And so I watch, and I'm not learning it. I'm sort of trying to say, kickball change, turn to the right, to the left. But I'm not. I know it's just a, so then I need to quickly, very quickly, come up with another plan. So my plan is to use my face to distract the directors from what my body was doing. And so I get in my mind a few good expressions, and now I'm up there. I'm in the front. And I'm right in front of Cocaine, and he's eagerly watching me because, you know, he loves me, and he wants to see how I can dance, so I just go for it, and I kind of wink and smile and smirk, and I've just got a whole lot going on as I'm just pounding the floor with my feet and kind of just flailing my arms around. I'm doing it all with a lot of bravado and confidence. And Cocaine just looks sort of puzzled. But then we're dismissed, and going home, I thought, he really thinks I'm special, you know. I was the most special one in my group, and maybe of all these people in this hallway. But then it was a few days of waiting for the audition results to be posted. They're posted on a bulletin board in the department, So when word spread that these things were up on the wall, we all gathered, and it took a while to even get to the front of the pack to read the small print of the, you know, all the names. And up top were was Nanette, and of course, girlfriend got that role. And I was disappointed, but nobody else in the group seemed the least bit surprised. I had not seen her audition. I didn't know, you know, how talented she was. But I said, okay, there's like a dozen good female speaking roles besides Nanette. So I look for my name, and it's not there. It's not there. I don't understand. I mean, I was awesome in that audition. Cocaine loves me. Where's my name? I go over it and over it. See if it's misspelled backwards. It's just not there. So I thought, okay, I guess this makes sense because I'm just a freshman. There's all these older students who need parts and, you know, they've been here. And it'll be fun to be in the chorus. You know, I'll get to wear a really great flapper costume. I'll make friends. It'll be great. So I look at the list of chorus members and there seem to be hundreds. It goes on and on. And I go down and down and down. It's in alphabetical order. I pass my letter. It's not there. I get to the bottom. I am not on that list. And I go up and down the list. And people are walking away. And I'm still looking at that list, searching. But I look at the rest of the bulletin board. Did anything fall on the ground? It is not there. I am not going to be in No, No, Nanette. I am not going to be in a show. And I was, of course, devastated, but I knew better than to express my sadness and humiliation in front of others. So I kind of shrugged like, oh, I didn't even audition, or, you know, or I don't really care. I have better things to do than be in this show, you know. And I walked away and then found a little quiet place to have a good cry. And boy, did I miss my little Catholic high school with the nice nuns who doted on me and you know, the people who thought I was really special. Thank you. Wow.